Good evening. It's an honor to be here again. I never take it for granted, especially now with all this immigrant stuff. I land and I smile. Hi. Will you let me in? No, I have my visa and it's all legal, so far so good. So I'm again very thankful for your support, your prayers, and those of you that support our ministry there in Poland for the past 20 years. Every month we get that list, and it's very humbling, and I'm very, very thankful for that. So by God's grace, we've been in Olsztyn for the past 3 years. And really, it's amazing because we already have a small group. It's a decent group for Polish standard, really, of believers. So it's amazing because one of my fears was always that once I move from Toruń to Olsztyn, then, you know, we'll just be us and my in-laws, who I love very much, but, you know. Constantly the same people, but no. It's actually amazing because before we came, I think it was at the beginning of June, we had another baptism, and it was really awesome, and I really thank God for that because we had, I believe, 3 people got baptized, representative of like 3 generations. That was a little Jeremy, he's 7 years old, and then it was John, he's 17, and Kate, she's about 50. So that was a blessing, and I really thought of that, like, thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's just you saved people from all three generations. So today I would like to share with you a little a testimony or a lesson, actually, that that the Lord has been teaching me for the past few months. Did I mention that I thank you for the prayers? Because this is important. please don't stop praying because, why you shouldn't stop praying for us? Because, once you're in the ministry, generally once you're a Christian, but I was thinking in my, ignorance, that's a good word. I was thinking, I'm in the ministry, I serve you, Lord. I really try to do a good job, and I really try to be faithful, and I self-examine and try to correct things. And so I think I'm extra protected. And it's probably true, I'm extra protected. But at the same time, in my ignorance, I forget that I'm also extra frustrating to the enemy.
That's right.
And the enemy knows that he doesn't have much time left.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think John said that. So he walks about and seeks to try to devour Christians and knock as many of us as possible out of the race. And he will definitely try. And again, in my ignorance, I knew that theoretically, because God's been so good to me for many years. I forgot about it, and I tend to concentrate on the protection and the blessings and everything, and forget that there is the other side.
Yes.
And when he does try, I need to guard my heart to not get offended at the Lord, because the hours of offense will come. And our Lord promised us and promised me, of course, like I said, eternal salvation, blessings, all these amazing things that he does together with the persecution and the trials. Mm-hmm. You don't have to open some of the verses. I'll just read. In John 16:20, he says, "Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you." In verse 25, the Bible says, "They hated me without cause." These things I have spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Lord Jesus also says, it is impossible that the offenses will come. It's impossible, but that offenses will come in yes. Luke 17:1. But it's a horrible thing. I hate it. It's horrible. And I'll tell you in a moment why I hate it. And that's the lesson I had to be taught. Because it causes a lot of pain.
Yes.
It can be so painful that it's hard to breathe, catch a breath. We tremble, we shake, we fear, we cry. Our brain, or maybe not yours, but at least mine, definitely plays all the what ifs.
Yeah.
And I get tunnel visioned, zoning in on my pain. And all I can play in my head is, I am hurting. I am hurting. It's me. I am hurting.
Yes.
And from experience, I'd like to tell you, and maybe hopefully that will be a blessing to you not to do that, that it's a very dangerous place to be.
Yes.
It leads to self-pity, doubt, unbelief, anger, frustration. And from there, it's a slippery slope to be offended at the Lord and, like some of his disciples, walk no more with him. So I reasoned with the Lord and I asked why. I think he can handle my questions.
Mm-hmm.
He's God.
Yes.
And I understood that he doesn't have to answer, and he doesn't. He's my Lord. I'm just a servant. But he did answer. And the answer I got was from Job, you don't have to answer, open, 38:2. And the Lord answered Job, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? So I had to admit, Lord, you know everything and I know nothing. But you are my Lord, but you are my best friend, so.
Yeah.
So please help me get out of the self-pity and the I'm hurting state and help me see the way you see.
Yeah.
And so he did, because he is my best friend. So I'm thankful for God's word, because I can learn from the experience and example of other saints of God. And there was a family, a lot of families, but this particular family in the Bible who loved the Lord and the Lord loved them. They were serving him faithfully, with many gifts and whatever possibilities they had. They were very hospitable. And when faced with a horribly painful situation, they did exactly what they were supposed to do. So they called for their master and waited for his rescue. But the Lord let the situation get worse. And in their minds, he did not show up on time. Of course, I'm referring to John chapter 11, the story of Lazarus. And so we all know the story, and it's so beautiful that it was already mentioned a few times during this conference. But why let this family suffer so much? Why let them be the spectacle of the neighborhood and suffer all the painful all the painful process of going through the funeral and the funeral costs and the mourners that would flood their house. And during the story, both of the sisters, Mary and Martha, they almost verbatim say the same thing, make the same statement, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. So if you good guys would please open this passage now. So this is John chapter 11. I would like to just share a few things that God really blessed me with and help me as my best friend look at the situation the way he looks at at some situations, at least my situation. But what the sisters didn't know, and I now know, thanks to their testimony and their story, is that God was working on multiple levels. And that the trial that the family was going through was not just about them. And what really blessed me in this in this story of Lazarus, of this family, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, is that when we read it, we see that there are three different groups of people that the Lord was working on. Number one, there was the family of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And and the Lord was working on them.
Yeah.
We read in verse 27, that Martha says, "She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." That really blessed me, because in her pain, and of course she didn't know what was going to happen, her brother had died, and that really blessed me, because in her pain and in her wondering, maybe disappointment, I don't know, she still had to admit that, Lord, you are the Christ.
Yeah.
Just like disciples in John 6:68, which is the same question I would play over in my head. Lord, whom shall we go?
Yeah.
Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
So her faith was strengthened. Her foundation was reassured. Lord, thou art the Christ, although I don't understand. Then the second group that this was affected, I guess, by the situation of the family, were the believers, the Jesus' disciples. Verse 7 and 8, we read, "Then after that saith he to the disciples, Let us go unto Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Confused, surprised, yet they went and they obeyed Lord Jesus, and they were able to see amazing, amazing things. I think the most profound miracle of Lord Jesus is to bring someone to life after he had already been buried and stinking, decomposing, I guess. And there was a third group, and those were the curious, the onlookers, the different Jews and mourners that were present and were watching that whole situation. And verse 19, we read, "And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother." Verse 31, "The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come, when Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Oh, and I'll skip to 37, sorry. "And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were the observers, people that were just there and probably heard who Jesus was and heard of a lot of his other miracles that happened before, and they were just wondering, which is a really valid question. I mean, he did so many other things, and someone whom he loved so much, he had decided that this person would die, that someone he loved would go through so much pain. And the amazing thing is that Lord Jesus addresses two of those groups that were present during this situation, the trial of this family. He talks to the disciples about the disciples, and he talks to them, and he kind of gives a reason for this whole thing. In verse 15, he says, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him."
Yeah.
And then he also talks about the third group, the bystanders. Verse 42, he says, "And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me."
Yes.
And that was what really helped me to
refocus.
To refocus, yes. To get out of the the tunnel vision that I was in. It really blessed me because I realized that there always will be people that stand by during our difficult situations.
Yep.
It might be doctors, nurses, unsafe family members, counselors, co-workers, or even those that hated us without cause or hurt us.
Yeah.
And I thank God for this story because when I shifted my focus from me and self-pity, and I lifted my eyes to the Lord and asked Him for guidance and help, He showed me the bystanders. And I realized that my job is to also pray for them.
Yes.
Because in the story of Lazarus, the bystanders were the white fields ready to be reaped. In verse 45 we read, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him."
Amen.
So the lesson that I have to learn, and I'm still learning, but it really helped me, was number one, that the offenses will come, and it's a given. Don't be surprised and don't be ignorant like I was. Or don't forget. Number two, that when they do come, that it's not only about me. It's about what the Lord is doing, and He's working on multiple levels.
Yes.
And number three, be on the lookout for the bystanders. Because just maybe they're there and you are in the situation because they are someone that is thinking about the Lord.
Yeah.
And whom the Lord is calling. And I would like to read one more verse from Ephesians. This is Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1:10 through 12, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will.
Right.
That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. I hope it was a blessing to you.
Amen.